Welcome to TSOH Weekly. My name is Alex Morris of the TSOH Investment Research Service. With me, as always, Francisco Oliveira of Arlo Vilo Capital Management. Today's topic is Disney, and specifically, CEO Bob Iger was at the New York Times Dealbook Conference this week. And it's also, you know, roughly 1 year anniversary since he returned to the company in late 2022. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that Iger mentioned at the conference and really broader thoughts on his return and where the company looks to be going in the years ahead. So Francisco, what were some of your bigger takeaways from the conference, but also really the last year?
Yeah, I think it's been, when it was announced that Iger was coming back a year ago, there was a lot of excitement and a lot of reporting internally that people were happy and investors were happy and just a lot of things going sideways and under Bob Chapek. I think as the years progressed, we've seen Iger be, to put it into terms, non-Iger-esque, meaning he's usually tight in his communications. And we've had situations where he's kind of like, you know, been open to selling Hulu, but in reality, that was not practical. And now they're buying Hulu. And he had an interview over the summer, and he was like basically saying, the linear networks are for sale, or heavily implying that. And the Dealbook Conference interview this week, he started to tighten that a little bit, and maybe correct himself by saying that, you know, these assets aren't necessarily for sale, but they're open-minded. They're obviously buying Hulu. So it's been a pretty messy year. And add to the fact that a lot of the box office releases for Disney have not been hits, to say the least. They have released hits under him, but for the most part, many haven't been hits. And so it's been a much tougher hand, a much tougher situation for Iger. And I think yesterday's conference just, confirmed that it wasn't much talk about what's happening going forward as an example. I mean, they've articulated that in the earnings calls, but it was more of a reflection of the past year.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to frame it, particularly differentiating between the earnings calls and these other kind of prominent interviews that he's done. I think there's been either two or three CNBC interviews that were, 30, 40 minute affairs. And then now this Dealbook Conference interview. And, he specifically said something along these lines that he basically said he's, not getting a fair shake / the reporting is inaccurate. And honestly, my take as someone who follows these things fairly closely, and while also recognizing the difficulties of the hand and industry change, et cetera, I think a lot of that is ultimately his responsibility or fault for what's happened. He was very uncertain about what Hulu was going to become in the initial interview with Faber. I believe that was back in February. And honestly, his framing of even how we got here was disingenuous or just flat out wrong, in my opinion. And also going forward in terms of what the solution is.
Just to interject, why was it flat out wrong or disingenuous?
Well, it reflected the structure of the deal. Both the Fox deal and the thinking behind doing the Fox deal, but it was also the structure of the Comcast deal in terms of the put call around the Hulu stake and what the ultimate end game was there. And again, the company launched the direct to consumer streaming service Disney Plus in November 2019. They had the discounted USDTC bundle from day one. That this has always been part of the idea that bundling these services together probably had some application for the company moving forward, particularly if they continued to own ESPN. So I don't want to have too much hindsight bias in this. Maybe I should go back and check some of the things I've written in the past. But I think what you'd find is that it's been pretty clearly understood for a long time that there was likely going to be a commingled future between some of these businesses. So I think some of that stuff is a little bit just incorrect, basically, at this time. And the same goes for some of the comments on linear. I think he can argue with the fact that he never said that they were for sale, but he clearly suggested that everything was on the table and that the company needed to figure out what to do with these assets. So, yeah, I think it's been non-Iger-esque is a fair way to put it. And I think a lot of it has been, as a shareholder, it's been a little bit disheartening in terms of what it means for the culture and what's going to happen going forward. And again, another prominent example is Kevin Mayer, as an example, who from the reporting seems to be playing a pretty prominent role in the company's decision-making and strategic vision. And he's not even an employee of the company. And he,
well, who's Kevin Mayer? I think for the listener that doesn't have that background.
Yeah. He worked at Disney for a long time and was seen as a potential successor. And for one reason or another, he was not picked as a successor by Bob Iger. And now he works at, I believe it's called Candle Media. And yep. So he's working with Bob Iger now in some capacity, but he's not an employee of the company. And I just, again, as we think about succession and where this company goes in the years ahead, particularly after Iger's final days here, I think it's a very concerning, signal.
Yeah, I agree. I think the way he frames that is like, hey, look, I came in with a blank sheet again, an open-mindedness, and I threw out there like, hey, maybe we could sell Hulu. And as he obviously he looked at the data and talked to his team internally, obviously that's not the smartest decision in our opinion, because to your point, bundling Hulu and bundling general entertainment with the IP is going to maximize the consumption and the growth and the reach of Disney Plus and all their various streaming services when you combine it with ESPN. I think for us, as we follow this closely, we thought that answer is pretty obvious. So it can be frustrating when he throws off these answers, which are, these scenarios, which are very, very, very unlikely. And I think that's frustrating. I think when he says that, hey, linear is not core, and he's basically putting a for sale sign and hinting that, could include ABC. And to us that we follow that closely, selling ABC would be very detrimental for ESPN, which is something that he said is very strategic. So why even said it? And he goes internally, he analyzes it or talks to his team. And obviously that's not the right thing. So if he knew those, we would have thought that he would have a little bit more conviction in his view. And like from day one, we're going to do this, 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 this. And for many things, he has done that, particularly with restructuring the creative. But with other things, he kind of threw out some scenarios that are unlikely. So that's why I think that's why, it's kind of frustrating to see that non-Iger-esque stance. Going forward, though, how his flip-flopping aside, do you feel better about the strategic direction, especially listening after that DealBook conference and the earnings earlier this year? A year, seeing that a year has passed and he's had a lot of time to not only restructure, cut costs, but put a strategy going forward.
This is the hard part of it all. Let's put the business results to the side a little bit for 1 second. And I've written very detailed analyses of these questions before, people who care to read them. In terms of just communicating a clear strategy, I think we're certainly in a better place than we were 6 months ago when he first came back and started talking about these things. I also think that was a very bad moment in terms of having clarity on thought process around some of these things. It seemed like we were revisiting questions that had already been answered, basically. I think we now have more clarity on ESPN and even the role of Disney Plus, right? You and I both saw this email this morning where they're basically trying to make it more all-encompassing, and it would involve things with consumer products, movie theaters, potentially theme parks, potentially, et cetera. So I think we're still seeing some of the pieces are becoming clearer and in directions that I think we both would agree make sense. It continues to be this question of actually making the changes and really pushing the ball forward. And the best example I can think of is ESPN, the linear channel going over the top has been talked about since, I believe it was 2017 was the first time it was mentioned as an inevitability. And we are at the end of 2023. So that's just an example of how I think there's been a lot of talk, and even around Chapek, right? Bob Iger said during an interview when Chapek was CEO that if he had remained there, he would have been pushing the ESPN D2C strategy much, much faster than he had when he kind of left the company. Well, now he's back in charge and there's a lot of talk about it, but we need to see more action.
Yeah, agreed. I think that's a good way of of framing it. I think Iger said he wants to do a soft landing, which is a word that's used a lot these days in the press and in the economy in terms of launching ESPN D2C. And I think we've seen situations in the past where certain analysts have said, like, burn the boats, you know, kill linear, invest billions a year in D2C. That's not necessarily the answer. So it's just a very messy and a tough situation, but I think you framed it well.